Welcome to another edition of Podcast Voice Training. I'm your host, Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology. And with me again today is my cohort and partner in crime, Jesse James. How you doing, Jesse?
Hi, folks out there in podcasting land. Great to be talking to you again.
Awesome. So we've been talking about the eight ways to really, you know, enhance podcasting because, you know, a lot of people just are not natural-born public speakers. And, of course, this is a speaking medium. And, you know, how do you – and we talked about passion and being excited to share. And we went through six other really, really important aspects of things that people can do, aren't difficult, that can really dramatically improve their podcasting. And this week, Jesse, I'd really like to talk a little bit about, you know, training our bodies, training your body, training your voice, because I know as an actor, particularly on the theater, you know, projecting your voice and using the body to influence how you come across through your voice is very, very important.
Absolutely it is. And it's very, very underrated. Most of us don't really realize that the voice can be trained. We listen to actors and radio announcers and we say, oh, what a marvelous voice. I wish I had a voice like that. Why can't I have a voice like that? Right. I guess I wasn't born that way. Well, it absolutely can be trained. And the voice, what most people don't realize about the voice is that the voice is an expression of the vitality of the whole body.
Oh, okay. That's why it ties into your body. And I know we've talked often about if we're doing a podcast and we're sitting down and we're slumped over, the type of energy that comes through the voice, and how if we're standing up and we're talking and moving around and everything else, just the huge difference that can make in the voice.
An enormous difference. When people are sitting back in the chair, they can't breathe very deeply.
Right.
And the depth of your breathing has everything to do with the vitality that's in the sound of your voice. They coach salespeople. In fact, I coach salespeople when they're speaking on the phone to either sit up straight and lean a little bit forward so your weight's actually on your feet, or to stand up and move around. Because the energy in the sound, because you're using the muscles of your body, comes right out of you and right down the phone line.
Oh, interesting.
Now, speaking on the phone is a little bit similar to public speaking using a microphone. And I'll tell you the way in which it is. When people have a microphone in front of them, they have the feeling that the microphone does it for them.
Okay, yeah.
So when a public speaker gets up, an inexperienced public speaker gets up and speaks through a mic, they suddenly hear their voice amplified many more times than they've ever heard it, and they become intimidated with the sound of their own voice. And they go, oh, my voice is really loud. I better get softer.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get softer, it's like they step back behind themselves and not only get quiet, but express timidity in their voice.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I never heard that before.
Well, the microphone amplifies whatever you put into it. Not just the quality of your sound, but how you feel about your voice. So if I'm speaking kind of quietly and timidly, that's what's going to be amplified to the room.
Hmm.
When you're speaking on a telephone or a microphone at home podcasting and you cannot see the people that you're speaking to, it's very hard to remember that they're even out there.
Yeah. We actually discussed that after our very first podcast. And then when you listen to it and you've directed theater and you've produced theater, and so you've got a really interesting way of looking at all these different aspects of production, right? Which a podcast really is a production.
Absolutely.
And some of your comments really struck me as, wow, like we needed to, you know, have more excitement and we needed to project more. And there was all these different things that you just, you know, after one listen, you went, oh, wow. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different lessons in that. And the main one that I always want to stress with my clients is the first time you do something is not going to be the best time you do something normally, right?
Absolutely.
And so we want to practice and practice and practice. And I think, you know, if you listen to our first podcast and you listen to this one or the next one or the one after that, each one, I suspect, will be a little bit better or even a lot better, depending on what we've taken away from it ourselves, because we're always growing, than the one before. And that's always our desire, right? And sometimes I think people procrastinate because they think, oh, you know, I can't talk that excited or whatever the problem or the issue may be for themselves, rather than just saying, just do it and keep doing it and practice it. I mean, it's like a half an hour on a mic. You know, it's not like it's a huge time commitment. And
that's right. Put it out there.
Right?
Well, it's like you folks at the Internet Marketing Center say when you're building a website, just get a site up. It doesn't have to be a perfect site.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it up and then improve it. It's process, progress, not perfection.
Yeah, that's right.
If you wait to be perfect, it'll never happen.
We've seen people with the absolute worst looking web page, the absolute worst sales copy you've ever seen, and they sell product because, you know, people want what they've got, right? And
yep.
If they just said, well, this is the worst sales copy ever, and this is the worst website ever, I'm not going to put it up, they'd sell zero. Right? Or at least if you've got it up, you're in the game and you've got it, you know, you're swinging at the ball, so to speak.
Exactly. I put that all up to the educational system, which, in my opinion, is quite dysfunctional. It works on punishment rather than affirmation.
Mm.
You end up being afraid to do anything wrong and then don't do anything.
Right. Which is ridiculous. I mean, I'm actually reading The Laws of Success by Napoleon Hill, which was what he wrote before he distilled it all down into Think and Grow Rich.
Yep.
And he talks about temporary defeat versus failure and all the temporary defeats he had in his life that taught him something that he wouldn't have learned if he hadn't had the temporary defeat, which made him stronger for the next challenge and to be able to overcome it.
Right, and you just hit on the head what it is to be successful.
Yeah.
A failure is something that happens and you decide to give up afterwards.
Yes.
A temporary defeat is something that you realize didn't work and you get back on the horse.
Exactly.
And do it again and improve it.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs is I Got Knocked Down and Got Back Up Again. I forget how it goes, right, but it's just like, knocked me down and I got back up again. You knocked me down and I got back up again.
And that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, well, I think we all are. I mean,
yep.
We've got great sob stories, but, you know, the success stories we share are much more fun.
That's right.
Okay, so how do I train my body? What do I need
how
to do?
How do you train your body?
Yeah, what do I do, Jesse?
I imagine that a lot of our listeners have actually played competitive sport
mm-hmm.
of one kind or another.
So I got to go to the gym?
Do you have to go to the gym?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to recall what it feels like in your body to play competitive sport. Now, competitive sport is, yes, it makes your body fit. However, it in a way does that inadvertently because your focus is not on getting fit. Your focus is on shooting a hoop or scoring a goal or reaching an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that effectively, your body has to be in optimal condition. And the more you play, the more optimal condition it gets. There are other kinds of physical exercise that are not necessarily competitive in nature. They might be dance or yoga or fitness or weight training or something like that that brings energy and vitality into your body. If you are a couch potato and your podcast is expressing the joys of couch potato-ness, then you might just sit back and open a beer and smoke a cigarette, ramble on and on to people, in an unfocused way, and you'll attract a few people that also like to do that. But that's generally not what people are attracted to.
Right.
People are attracted to the expression of your vital life force, irrespective of your content. I'm going to repeat that. People are attracted to your vital life force. It has nothing to do with your content. Your content is carried on your energy. And your energy is built and sustained and has endurance through being exercised. Now, not all physical exercise is equal in the podcasting realm.
You know, Jesse, I got to interrupt you for a second. I think everybody should rewind like the last 60 seconds and listen to what you just said about 10 times. Because I think that's one of the most profound things I've heard of in a long, long time. Yeah.
And repeat it like a mantra.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm doing a lot of speaking this year with the Internet Marketing Center and really, really excited about it. And I'm playing different parts of the presentation in my mind as I'm going to work and as I'm going to bed and as I'm sitting around working. I'm just, it's almost like daydreaming visualization, right?
Yep.
And it's amazing because the energy that I feel as the me that's not me is doing it in my mind, right? If I could put it that way, in me, that's visualizing me, is just like, I'm getting so excited and so excited, and I can just feel the energy just growing and growing and growing as I'm preparing for my my talk this coming weekend. And it's just like, yeah, like, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not, the content is interesting, as you know, right? But it's the energy and the excitement and everything that I bring to the content that gets everybody going, right? Because you could say what I have to say in an extremely boring manner and everybody would go to sleep, right? But it's,
yep,
like, it's so important that we have that energetic undercurrent, and it's actually, that's exactly what it is. People are attracted, when you look at all the major, you know, celebrity speakers or even the celebrities, you know, there's something about them that's very, very attractive, and it's that energy they've got.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about passion in yourself and passion for sharing it. What physical exercise does, and voice exercise, which we'll get to in a moment, is allow you to sustain that passion over time.
Right.
That's really important. Like, an actor on stage has got to be at peak performance for an hour or two, for the full length of something. So does a podcaster.
Yep.
They can't get bored while they're speaking.
Yeah.
Because they will communicate boredom.
Exactly.
And that's no good. You will bore your listeners. Even if you love your subject and you don't have the vitality or energy in your body to communicate it, it's not going to come across. You got to keep them alert, focused, and attentive. Now, one of the best ways to exercise the voice is through breathing and exercises that promote full body breathing.
Right.
During the day, our breathing becomes more and more and more shallow if we're not doing any kind of exercise to reverse that trend. Because so many of us these days sit at computers, and podcasters probably spend hours in front of computers.
Yeah.
Not noticing the way they're sitting.
Yeah.
If your posture is laid back or crumpled over, you are decreasing your lung capacity. And take shorter and shorter breaths. Your voice, obviously, is carried on your breath. I say obviously, but in fact I find that it's not obvious to many people. Sometimes when I'm giving a workshop or training someone, they say, do we really have to breathe so much? And I say, gee, would you like to stop?
Right.
How long can you stop and still speak?
Yeah, a couple minutes, you're unconscious.
That's right. We speak on out-breaths. If I wasn't breathing out, you wouldn't be able to hear my voice.
Yeah.
And if I didn't pause to breathe in, I would never fill my tank. If my breath is really full in my body, then I will be able to speak with a lot of energy. Now, we have a house full of pets here. We have a dog and three cats. And I so enjoy watching these cats wake up in the morning. If any of you have cats out there and you've seen the way cats stretch, they stretch through their whole body. Their jaw opens wide, big enough to swallow a small rodent.
Right.
And at that same moment, they are taking a huge breath. Now, you may not consider that exercise, but that's one of the most fundamental body optimization exercises you can possibly do. I call that a full body yawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big stretch with a big in breath and a big out breath that goes, and I'm standing in the middle of my room right now, stretching from the tips of my fingers down to the bottoms of my toes and letting out a full sound.
You're making me want to do the same thing. So anybody else out there?
Stand up right now and do that same thing.
Oh, it feels good.
Who thought
we'd do a podcast where we'd be groaning and grunting, Jesse?
Who thought?
And probably have thousands of people doing it with us.
Well, I would love to see the day, but unfortunately on audio podcasts, we can't see you out there. We just have to take it on faith that you're doing it. Now, I'm going to teach you right now how to do the perfect voice-optimizing operatic yawn.
Okay.
So you need to stand up, take a full breath in as if you're breathing it right up through the floor. You go, and when you breathe out, open up your throat really wide so it's... people in the offices around you can hear you. They're all looking at you. And they'll all say, he must be doing that strange voice podcast right now. Well, that's okay. We love him after he does that. Maybe we should try it too.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, here's the funny thing about yawning. Since our culture tells us that yawning is impolite or inappropriate, we clamp down on our yawn and pretend that we're not having it. But you know, when you have a yawn, you don't try to yawn, unless we're doing it like we are now.
That's true.
It's not a deliberate insult to someone. It's simply your body saying, please give me more oxygen. You've run out of gas from sitting still too long or crumpling your body over and breathing too shallow, and your body's saying, I can't function. I can't think. I can't stay awake. I need more oxygen in my bloodstream. The yawn is actually the breath in that fills up your tank and sends a whole lot of oxygen molecules into your bloodstream and up to your brain, so afterwards you can think even better.
Oh, very cool.
Back in school, a teacher looks at a student who's yawning and says, am I boring you? Did the student try to yawn on purpose? No. The teacher was so darn boring, and the chairs are so darn uncomfortable, and the, well, you know the story.
Yeah.
You've all been there.
Yeah.
So.
You got it out for the schools today, Jesse.
What, yeah. Well, my kid goes to a school, and he comes back saying, I was so bored. And all of us have had hours and hours and hours and days and days and days of 18 odd years of schooling where we sat there wishing it would end.
Yeah.
And that's our role model for what exciting education is all about.
Yeah, which is
almost non-existent.
Very sad.
But let me get back to this optimizing operatic yawn. Because the culture tells us that it's inappropriate to yawn, what we try to do is hide the expression of it. And we do what I call a constipated yawn.
Oh, okay.
And that's when the throat closes instead of opened, and it sounds like a huge amount of effort, and it sounds something like this. I hope you can hear that I'm practically strangling myself.
It sounded like it.
Well, try it. And all of you podcasters at home, try that too. Try the constipated yawn so you can tell the difference.
Oh, it doesn't feel nearly as good as the other one.
It doesn't at all.
Like, and I cut it short.
Remember that your voice box, your vocal cords, are located in your throat. So if you are trying to hide the fact that you're yawning, all the muscles in the throat are clenched tight, and you're doing the very thing to your vocal cords that you don't want to do. You're tightening up the air channel and teaching them that the full expression of who you are is not appropriate. So whatever you do the most of improves.
Right.
If you are releasing your voice in an open, full sound, like, in one continuous long breath, you are training your whole body to express itself fully in relaxation, which is what a yawn ideally is.
Right.
The body doesn't want to clamp down. It's your psychology, your self-esteem that says, oh, I shouldn't be this big. Oh, right. This is not appropriate. Oh, people will think I'm weird. Oh, this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And we diminish the full expression of who we are.
So a big part of training the body is actually training it to relax.
Allowing it to relax.
Allowing it to relax.
The language is quite important. And experiencing the freedom of being your large self. When I'm coaching people, sometimes they say, oh, well, this is way over the top, or I could never be this big. Well, the fact is, you are potentially that big.
Mm-hmm.
It's not larger than life.
That's right.
It's large life.
You are the life.
You are the life. And you either choose to diminish yourself and your expression, or you choose to let it loose. The times when we let it loose, when we lack self-consciousness, are if we either, again, are playing a competitive sport and really want to win, we lose ourselves in the activity and don't worry about how we behave, or we're rabid fans of a sports team. You've seen, well, you've either experienced it yourself, or you've seen people on TV or at hockey games when you go that are crazy fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? If you saw that same person in their workplace, their behavior would be severely diminished.
Yeah, that's right. They let it all out in certain places. Maybe that's
they let it all out.
Sports
drink,
are so
drink
important.
10 beers and yell at their hockey hero that just didn't score a goal, and you see them at their absolute most excited, ecstatic, and their most rage-filled hatred. The full expression of human beings comes out there. It's almost like being in the Colosseum, doing thumbs up or thumbs down for the slave to be killed or not.
Right.
We're willing to go there.
In a socially appropriate place.
Right. And that's actually one of the functions that competitive sport fills in a culture, is to acknowledge that we have this full range of passions. And let's put them in a sports hall instead of out on the street.
Right.
Because then we would have chaos.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, we've reached about the 25 mark of this podcast, so I think what we should do is take a break and come split this into two parts and come back next week in part two about training your voice.
Great. And we absolutely want to hear from all of you out there who are listening to this podcast. Our subscription is growing, we're very excited to say, and like podcasts are growing,
yes,
there's a real need for making quality podcasts. If you want to be listened to and you want people to spend the time listening to you, do the background work. Put your soul on the line. Get your body optimized and your voice optimized so people hang with you for the whole length of your podcast.
That's right. So, Jesse, what's your domain name? Where can people get a hold of you?
www.developyourvocalpower.com.
Awesome. So you can email Jesse there. I recommend you take a look at his site. It's great.
Well, you can also email me at voicecommand, just like it sounds, all one word, voicecommand@telus.net.
Good.
I welcome your responses, as Scott does.
Yep.
And check out his book, Podcasting /unleashed.com.
Yeah, it's podcasting-unleashed.com.
Not slash, dash.
Dash, dash. And,
dash to podcasting's dash unleashed.
That's right. And, you sign up for newsletter there, get all the latest news and how to market your podcast and all my secrets. I let my subscribers know. And, we're pretty excited because this particular podcast is in the top 10 in iTunes and, Yahoo's podcast directory for internet marketing, which is just absolutely incredible when you consider how tough that market is and how competitive it is. And, that's because of all of you great listeners and, a bunch of other people that have given us a high rating. So, until next time, this is Scott Patton and
Jesse James
saying keep podcasting and exercise that voice.